Hi, I'm James Schillinglaw, and I'm here today with Belinda Hindmarsh, who's the Deputy CEO of Global Business for Ponant. And of course, many of you hopefully know Ponant, the French luxury expedition ship cruise line, I should say. And we wanted to just get an update on where Ponant is today. And we're going to talk to Belinda about that. They got, you know, amazing ships, most of them brand new. I've been lucky enough to be on a few of them over the past year, including the flagship Le Commandant Charcot when it first came out. I haven't been on it recently, but hopefully they're going to get on a little later this year or later next year. And we're going to talk to Belinda about all that and more on Insider Travel Report. Belinda, first of all, it's great to meet you. We've not met you before, and you are actually based in Rome, you were telling me, but you're spending a lot of time in Marseille there, which is where the headquarters of Ponant is, right?
Correct. Hi, James. Lovely to meet you, and thank you for your time today.
Yeah.
Great. Well, yes. Sorry, I was just definitely spending lots of time in Marseille since joining Ponant at the end of last year.
Fantastic. And let's talk about that. Where is Ponant today? Who owns the line? First of all, remind us of that because it's interesting. And then you can tell me how many ships it has.
Sure thing. So Ponant is privately held. It's owned by Artemis, the Pinot family in France. We have 14 French flagships, which is obviously a nod to our heritage and very much part of who we are. Actually, 15 ships, if I am to be completely correct. We have a brand new ship, which we can perhaps talk a little bit about.
Okay.
A new catamaran that we just launched a couple of weeks ago.
I just saw that. We wrote about it, and I was surprised, and we'll talk about that at the end. Yeah, and then there's another one that's coming up a few years from now that looks kind of awesome, I got to tell you. But anyway, so you have that many ships, and where do you position Ponant in the market today? Is it, as I mentioned, a luxury expedition cruise line, or is it something different?
I believe we think about exploration. We talk about exploration more than cruising. We are very much high-end luxury. I would say comfortable. You've been on our ship, so you would have seen it's casual, comfortable luxury. We are doing a lot of expedition, and we're very famous for the polar expedition, but we're also doing a lot of expedition in the tropics.
Mm-hmm.
And also still offering classic yachting as well in some other destinations like the Mediterranean. So I think we like to think about it as exploration because it's more than just a cruise. It's a lot about taking people to far end corners of the earth that maybe they wouldn't otherwise reach.
Mm-hmm.
And that nice mix between enrichment, meeting new communities, the community on board, and doing something very different.
No, it is a prey, and you have a number of different types of ships. And of course, one of the ships, actually the last one I was on, it was a while back. It was the first one of the first cruises of Le Commandant Charcot.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I see in your press releases you refer to that as the flagship of the fleet. First of all, why is that? And you know what? And it is an amazing ship. It really is. And I'm not sure if you're thinking about building another one, but it is really unique in the market.
Well, indeed, we are very proud of Le Commandant Charcot. I think so unique, we won't build another one. You know, she really is something special because she can truly go where no one else can go. A true luxury icebreaker, the one and only. So she can go, for example, to the very far North Pole, to the absolute top of the North Pole. We have some incredible destinations set up for her this year to really different parts of the globe where she can go a couple of months earlier than any other ship, given her capabilities of navigating through ice. Why are we so proud? First and foremost, she's a hybrid ship, so electric and LNG, first in her kind. I think it's been built very much in line with the heritage and the DNA of the company, which is really about sustainable exploration. It's about do no harm and force for good. So going into some of the communities that actually are cut off from ice for months on end and
right.
Bringing supplies, you know, really going to different, very quiet parts of the world and unique experiences for our guests to be on board and really truly experience what they can't do on any other ship. So very proud of her. I know our captains have a huge influence on where she sails in terms of itineraries and suggestions, really pushing our boundaries on exploration, which is really true and core to what we want to be doing. So very proud of
her. And plus, she's the only one that I know has a full Ducasse restaurant on board, which I think You have Ducasse catering on a lot of the other ships, but this was a bona fide Alain Ducasse restaurant, and the cuisine was outstanding, put it that way.
Oh, thank you for the feedback. Now, honestly, being on board is a dream. It's a unique ship. It's something mind-blowing. And once you've been on board, it's very hard to imagine what could be better in terms of the luxury and the comfort. Everything from, the dry room, the wet room when you come in from the expedition, the facilities on board, and the fact that, once again, there's, this really nice balance between looking after the environment and the scientists we bring on board. We've had more than 150 scientists on board in the last 2 years, conducting all kinds of different research. So there's something really special about being on board the Commandant Chaco.
Absolutely. And if I have to go to the North Pole, I can't think of a better place to go with than Le Commandant Charcot. And that actually brings me the only ship that I know of that can actually cruise to the North Pole. And you've had some revenue cruises up there. Indeed, when I got on the ship, it had just been kind of launched, and the crew and the expedition team had gone to the North Pole, and they didn't tell anybody about it. I was like, I was talking to the captain, and he said, "You were at the North Pole?" And he said, "Yes, we were up there." And he's telling me a story of they saw a black sort of shape in the distance, and they started going toward it. And it turned out that over the loudspeaker came, "We're an American nuclear submarine, stay away."
And there's a lot of adventures that don't get shared.
That was an amazing adventure. And then they came back, and we were on, it wasn't even a revenue cruise. It was a cruise from Le Havre to actually Lisbon. And it was amazing just to be on it for 5 days and see what you've done there. Now, let's talk a little bit about the very first ship, Le Ponant, which I understand that you've recently refurbished. I mean, that was the mothership, if you will, right?
Yes, and in a way still is. So Le Ponant is a beautiful ship. We have 16 cabins, so 32 passenger capacity, very, very high-end five-star luxury offering. Recently been awarded Relais and Chateau status, the only ship in the world to have received that status.
Right.
She's back in the Med at the moment, this summer. She's been out in the Kimberley off the coast of Australia.
Wow.
Sailing back through the Caribbean, but she's back in the Med, and we have some pretty, really nice itineraries for the summer planned around Croatia and around Greece. So if anyone hasn't booked their holidays for the summer, Le Ponant is definitely a good option.
Yeah, that's true. I've been on it, but not to cruise. I just went on for a tour, and it was marvelous at the time. It was very unique, and it's now almost, what, is it 20 years old? It's been around for a while, but now you've completely redone it, right?
You won't believe this. She's 36 years old. She is
36 years. Oh my! I'm sorry. She looked young for her age, I guess.
Well, she is incredible. Really, once again, a very visionary build 36 years ago, and very true once again to the sailors that founded our business 36 years ago. Right. I think it's true testament to that.
And then beyond that, you have the two different sort of classes of cruise ship. I know there's the first series of ships that you built, and then there was a second one. So just to go through those two different classes that you have and what they can do.
Right, sure thing. So once again, we have our sister ships, they have a capacity of around, I think it's 200 actually, guests that we can have on board, just a little bit more, depending on how much enrichment we have with the naturalists and guides and others on board. And then our Explorer series was our more recent series. We have six Explorer ships, 170 capacity. So slightly smaller, but still very small human-sized ships that can reach destinations that obviously the large ships can't go. So I think one of our unique offerings to our guests is that we truly go all around the globe, all seven continents, and to ports that others don't reach, and to destinations that are often off the beaten track, which I think is part of that whole exploration and enrichment that we talk about when we talk about exploration rather than cruising.
No, absolutely. And that first series is, I think I was on the very first one, was Le Boreal. And then you had two more after that as part of that. I can't remember. Three more in that series. And then you had your exploration series. I've never been on those, but I guess that's not true. We have been, I just haven't been. That's the one that has the underwater lounge, right?
Blue Eye. Yes,
The Blue Eye Lounge. How could I forget that? It's my colleague Alan Fine was on it in Iceland once, and so it really is amazing. So you got that, and then obviously you have more to come, as we were saying. You mentioned at the beginning, you just announced plans for this latest new ship, and it's more like a yacht, like catamaran, right?
Yes, once again, true to the heritage. So back to sailing. It's a catamaran. It's a Lagoon 77. It's much smaller than the rest of our fleet. So six cabins on board,
Wow.
With a dedicated crew of four. And it'll be very tailored to the guests in terms of what they want to do. Obviously chartering on a week by week basis, but also offering some individual guest cabins available, so that we can offer both to our customers, because we're seeing demand for both those who just want to sail and those who want to actually charter the yacht for a longer length of time. And what will be unique here is that it'll be very much a destination ship. So for the summer, we're focusing on Corsica. She will be delivered to us in a few weeks. So we'll spend the summer in the Med, and then she will be based in the Seychelles from the beginning
wow.
of next season. Yes.
Not a bad place for that. Now let's stick with the ships for a while, because you've got something coming up. I think it's, I don't know, 2030 or something, sort of a completely green ship that you have plans for. I saw the renderings of it, and boy, this is incredible. I'm not even sure to call it a sailing ship or what it is, but tell us a little bit about that project, because that really is very unique in the market.
Yeah, it is. So we call this project Swap to Zero, and it's all about, you know, sailing as close to emission zero as possible, or as close as cutting edge technology will allow us. And so we're working on many fronts to deliver this project. The ambition is to have a sailing ship in the water by 2030. That would be as close to emission zero as humanly possible. Mm. To deliver that, obviously, we need to work on catalysts to deliver new energy solutions. And we have a number of projects with partners at play right now to make sure that we will be ready. 50% of the time we'll be sailing. So she'll be a ship that's in destinations where wind propulsion will actually allow for that 50% capacity. And it will be a destination ship in itself as well. Once again, it will be a different theme from what we've offered in the past. And we're making good progress, James. We actually hope to have an LOI signed this summer with the yard for that 2030 readiness.
Yeah, because 2030 is going to come up pretty quick, right? We're already almost in 2024. So I saw that ship. It looks just amazing. And I mean, most of your ships are beautiful looking ships. They really are. They really have wonderful lines, and dating from the original Ponant. And now you have this latest Ponant, a smaller Ponant, the catamaran. So you got all different kinds of vessels that do a lot of different things in exploration. Now, let me go back to those itineraries. As you mentioned, you really go to all seven continents right now, right?
We do. We really do. And it's like I mentioned, we are really focusing on expedition, not only to the poles, but also to tropical destinations. So we've had some amazing offerings in the Kimberley. Kimberley is one of our staples off Western Australia. We were one of the first to be there. We do some amazing tropical expeditions out in Australia. Also, we're looking at the Gulf of Honduras.
Different.
So some different itineraries. Madagascar is big on our list this year. So some new itineraries in more warm waters. But also in the ice. I mentioned Le Commandant Charcot and her ability to get into places early. She'll be the first ship to cross the Baffin Sea and visit some of the communities in Greenland, bringing in supplies at the end of the year. So that's another big hit. And something very new and never done before. We do have Le Commandant Charcot doing the two poles. So the geographic North Pole and the magnetic North Pole, sailing from pole to pole.
Wow.
Something pretty unique that no one else can probably offer.
That's very unique. I've never heard, well, I've heard about somewhat like that. One of your competitors did it at one point. I think Hurtigruten did something like that way back when, but they stopped doing that. They haven't done that in a while. I don't think they, and of course they didn't go pole to pole. You know, this is this is very, and of course you have the ship that can do that pretty much.
Exactly.
Obviously, unless you can do sledding, you're not going to the South Pole. But you can get to the geographic North Pole, and then, you know, and then we all have to be Shackleford or something to get to the South Pole, right?
That, something like that, for sure.
Well, you know, well, maybe you could do that. Everybody's there. I hear, you know, camping out on the Antarctic, you know, and I have been lucky enough to do Antarctica a few times, and it really is an amazing, amazing cruise. Now, you also, I mean, obviously people also don't understand you also do Canada and North America too, and you've done cruises of the St. Lawrence Seaway and I think the Great Lakes, right?
Correct. It's also one of the first for Charcot. We have on the St. Lawrence River. We will have the during the boreal season, so that will be something pretty special. We're definitely looking at some, she's also doing some Baltics actually this year. So trying to have some shorter cruises for those who aren't familiar with the product and maybe don't have the time to do those longer cruises around Antarctica or around the North Pole. So there's some different routes there available to get to know the product and familiarize yourself with Le Commandant Charcot before maybe committing to a longer journey.
Yeah, that's true. So you test it out close in and then go something really exotic, depending on that. That sounds a good way to go, actually. But
although it is a ship that once you get on, you don't really want to get off.
I certainly felt that way. You know, you could have kept feeding me with the Ducasse restaurant every day and the pain au chocolat, which are perfect. That's one of my ratings of a ship is what do the chocolate croissants, how are they done? And this was one of my best. I really enjoyed it. So there's a lot going on. There are a lot more itineraries. And of course, you know, you are, how are you working now to get more North Americans to kind of sail on Panama? I know you've been working for years to do it. I think, you know, it's a product that I think is growing. My viewers, my travel advisors do know about it, and a lot of them are putting it on, and they actually are going sailing on it. But I know you just brought on a new CEO of Americas, Sam Chamberlain, who I've met. What are you doing in the North American market to really get more people to go on?
Great question. And yes, we're very happy to have Sam join us just last month. I think, you know, if I think about the US market, I would say Ponant is unfortunately one of the best kept secrets, meaning, yeah, you know, our brand recognition isn't where it could be, if we're being very honest. And I think a lot of that has to do with telling our story and reassuring our agents and our customers that actually it's not a French cruise line for the French. Right. I think there's a notion out there that that's who we are. Whereas actually only 40% of our customers are from Europe and France. So 60%, you know, we have a very international mix from US, Australia, Australasia, and rest of the world. So I think this notion of getting on board Ponant and everyone will speak to you in French and you'll eat French food and you'll be all alone is quite.
But we have no problem with the eating French food part, you know. That's well, and I do speak I speak a passable French after about a week, so sometimes it's good skill for me because I learn more French. But it is true, the language on board is French and English, and people got to remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, and I, you know, I really am very proud of what we offer. It's an international offering with a French flavor. There's a nod to our French heritage. We're very proud of our cuisine. We're very proud of our hospitality. But at the end of the day, it's an international offering for anyone. And it is in English and French, a dual language on board.
No, it is amazing. And I've been lucky enough to sail on board, I think, about four times now. I've sailed Le Boreal. I've sailed one other ship in the series, and I can't remember because you have some very interesting names, sometimes named after French explorers like Le Commandant Charcot. But they're all, and there's another in the exploration series, they're named. I don't always remember all their names, but then again, at least you're interesting. I mean, I don't want to say anything negative about some of our larger competitors, but sometimes it seems like the same names keep cropping up all the time, you know, where you have the same, literally the same name in two different fleets. So you don't have that problem.
No, we don't. No, I think, you know, at the end of the day, what's very unique about what we do is that, you know, this is a company formed by sailors. And when you work in headquarters in Marseille, you feel that it's still run by sailors today. It really is a very unique offering in terms of the way the puzzle happens, getting all of the input from our customers and our captains and building our itineraries and our destinations. You know, James, we've sailed to 500 ports with 14 ships.
Pretty amazing.
Name that. So if you're looking for unique destinations and you're looking for enrichment and something different, I think Ponant is an amazing offering in terms of that high-end luxury and comfort on board, but still doing some pretty exciting adventures.
Well, you know, and again, around COVID time and right after COVID, expedition cruising was all the has been all the rage. It really has been a market that has exploded, and especially in the luxury segment. But you've been there all the time, right?
That's it, from 36 years ago when that Le Ponant ship started sailing. So it's very much been part of the heritage from the beginning.
And I do want to close out with, you've also been very focused on sustainability. Obviously, we talked about your brand new ships, the one that's coming out hopefully by 2030. But you have been, you know, ultra focused on green and sustainable. And I think that's, you know, very praiseworthy. And your founders really were very concerned about that, right?
Not just our founders, I think our founders and our leaders of the past and our shareholders of today. Because if you think about travel, James, everyone's talking about sustainability. You know, there's a lot of tick the box exercises with carbon offsetting and you know, reporting. But here you're really trying to build from the bottom up. So it's everything from our hardware, you know, with this new ship build, so that we can use those technologies for the industry, you know, to retrofit our own fleet in time. Even though we have new ships, we're already thinking about how do we retrofit them so that we can be more sustainable. Because the long and the short of it is, at the end of the day, someone's got to step up to the plate.
Right.
Customers aren't really willing to pay for it yet, you know, but it's on us as an industry to figure out how do we solve for this problem. And we think 2050 is too far away. We've got to start sooner.
Yeah, I know. Everybody puts 2050 as the year that we're going to be all sustainable and green. But I think you're right that it really got to be even sooner. Yeah. I actually won't be around in 2050, so I won't see it either way. But hopefully, you know, everybody will get a chance to be here and understand what we're doing, what everyone is doing to make things more sustainable. Belinda, do you anything else you want to tell our 125,000 travel advisors out there about Ponant today?
Oh, great opportunity. I mean, what I would like to say is that we're here to support. You know, we're ramping up the team in the US market. US is a very, very strategic market for us. We are putting money where our mouth is and we're building a team. You should know that we're there to support you. And if you have any questions or you want to spend some more time with us, just getting to know us and understanding what we can offer your guests, by all means, do reach out. And yeah, we're looking forward to growing our presence in the US market in the years ahead.
And we're going to try to help you do that from our part, because we've been very focused on Ponant. I know it well. I love the line. It's really an incredible product. There are a lot of great travel products out there, but Ponant is that deserve the word unique. Ponant is unique in many ways. And so, again, it's great to meet you here. And hopefully at some point we'll do one of these interviews live in person, as opposed to Zoom, which it seems to be our go-to. And, you know, I'm actually in London and Belinda is in Rome. I'm not in New York, even though it looks like I'm in New York, you know, but it is the way things go these days. So hopefully next time we'll get to meet, we'll be at a Sea Trade or one of those other great events that we have, or maybe on board. How about that?
That would be even better.
Okay, let's make a date of that. We'll go on board one of your ships and do a nice interview on that. Again, Belinda, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Thank you, James. It's been a pleasure.
I'm James Schellinglaw, and this is Insider Travel Report.